In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, both now and unto the ages of all ages, Amen. Our meditation today is entitled, A Soldier, an Athlete, and a Farmer. And it's being inspired from the Pauline reading of today, which is taken from the second epistle of St. Timothy, the end of chapter 1 and the beginning of chapter 2. And in particular, we're going to focus on verses 3 to 7 from chapter 2. These verses are telling us that as Christians, we need to endure hardships. And when St. Paul was speaking to his disciple Timothy, he gave him from his real life, from day-to-day life, these three examples to show him how he should be a soldier for Christ, how he should be going through hardships and hard times with cheer and to endure it without grumbling. He told him, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hard-working farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things." So let us just open up our hearts and our minds this morning to tell him, Lord, in your Holy Scriptures, in your Word, you want us to understand and try to accept and to live these words. What is it about these three vocations, being a soldier, an athlete, and a farmer, that is so special that we need to understand? St. Paul is telling him, consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. The first comment I want to say is that God has sanctified every kind of vocation in the world. I don't want to call it just a job. There's a huge difference between a job and a career and a vocation. A job is just something that we may do temporarily, but not be interested in it. It just puts bread on the table. It doesn't matter. I'm just going to get a paycheck at the end of the week, and that should be it. A career is a little bit more committed. I enjoy what I do. I'm looking forward to be at work, and I feel that I am serving others. But maybe if we elevate what we do to become a concept of a vocation, meaning a calling, I'm called to be where I am today, and God is calling me in particular to serve Him and to witness to Him in my line of work. And indeed, these three, if we may call them secular vocations, being a soldier or an athlete or a farmer, not necessarily a consecrated servant, God is giving us these three vocations to tell us that this is a sample of what everyday life people may do, and we can learn from these vocations, and it would be for the glory of God. The Lord is asking us to consider what He is saying, and may He grant us understanding in all things. What is it about these three vocations that is so special? A soldier is there for safety and protection. Imagine living in a country that does not have any kind of defense. The enemies can come to attack at any time, and they will subdue the people, and they will be in captivity. So a soldier is there to protect and to serve and to provide safety for the individuals. He puts himself or herself in the line of fire for the sake of others, for no particular reason other than being a member of this community or nationality. Someone else is trying to attack them, so it's none of their own personal faults that they are being targeted by the enemies. They put themselves, they enlist themselves to serve and to protect others, and they expect to be persecuted for no particular reason. An athlete is someone who is dedicated for his purpose as well, and he provides entertainment. So they have to be extremely committed to what they do. They have to take care of themselves, their conditioning, their exercising, setting certain times for what they need to do in order to be best fit. And by the way, the athletics are not, the competition in athletics is not like we see it now, where some people are just happily and joyfully running together and receiving a prize. Actually, if you saw the Gladiator movie, this is more or less the Olympics at this particular time that started in Greece. It was very violent. The athletes at that time, they weren't like crowned just for like throwing something or running for maybe these things, but the main athletes were, or the champions were, the Hercules kind of people, the strong people. So they needed to be extremely disciplined in order to attain the prize. So self-discipline is what the athlete is all about. While the farmer is the person who rises up extremely early in the morning to go out to the field to cater for the little plants, to provide food and sustenance for other people and not just for himself. So the soldier, the athlete, and the farmer, these are the three important vocations and significant callings that St. Paul is asking of his disciple Timothy today, to look at them, to consider them, and to learn from them. Because this is a true example of how you and I should lead our life. To think of others, to self-sacrifice, to be disciplined in our own personal lives, and to provide the sustenance and the daily bread for others who are around us. These three vocations basically have three things in common. They have to prepare for what they do. Secondly, they need to endure or go through the actual exercise or their vocation. And finally, they are crowned or they are rewarded. A soldier, as St. Paul is telling Timothy today in his second epistle, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life. He is telling him to be focused on what he is going out there to do. And so, my beloved, you and I, in our spiritual lives, we have to start out by our preparation, by our focus. What is it that we want to do in our life? Years go by so quickly without feeling them. Only last week we were celebrating the beginning of a new Coptic year, and we spoke about the end of times. And it's not going to be too long before again we celebrate the new year. A few months will go by very quickly. And if we do not set some goals in our mind that we want to accomplish, then life will just pass us by without much gain. Saint Isaiah said, when you rise early every day, remember that you will give an account of your deeds. In doing so, you will not sin, and the fear of God shall abide in you. Every single day is a new day that we need to prepare for our battle, for accomplishing what God has created us to do. Through prayer in the morning, meditation, through having a personal relationship with the scriptures, through partaking of the Holy Eucharist and sacraments, through thinking of what I need to do today and accomplish, through establishing a good means to avoid some of the sins that I do on a continuous basis. Someone was telling me last week a little prayer that someone woke up in the morning and said, I thank you, God, because I have not judged anyone today. I have not bothered my spouse. I have not fought with my children. I have not committed any sins of the eyes of the flesh. And now I'm getting out of bed. So, help me not to do these things. So it's basically, we haven't done our spiritual struggling against sin yet. It's only barely the morning. And yes, we haven't done all of these things, but now I'm getting out of bed. And help me, Lord, not to commit all of these things. preparing the preparation process is so important. To be disciplined as an athlete does. Every single day they have a diet which is the same as fasting in the church. This kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. And the question that I want to ask ourselves today, am I preparing myself for what is still to come ahead of me? Sometimes I have low self-esteem and I have fear. And I feel that I am broken and I cannot accomplish today what God has intended me to do. Like one time there was a water bearer in India who had two large pots. And each one he would carry hanging on one of his shoulders. And unfortunately, one of these clay pots had a little crack in it. So he would walk very far in order to fill both pots and then go to his master's house there to water and to provide drinks for all the people there. And just follow with me here this story. Okay, it's not a real story, it's an imaginary story. So one day, the pot, this clay pot, noticed that it was losing half of its contents along the way. So it came to the pot bearer and she told him, I am not good enough for this job. I cannot accomplish what is my purpose in life. And she had very low self-esteem and she said that I'm only worth half of the value of the other pot. So the pot bearer told her, listen, I knew about your deficiency. I knew that you had a crack that, you know, was seeping some water out of it. So when I noticed this crack, I planted some flowers along the way, so that when we are walking and you are dripping all this water, it would not go to waste. And he took it along the way and he said, notice on your side that I always carry you on, there are flowers that are coming up because of the water that you are dripping. And on the other side, there are no flowers. I actually took these flowers every once in a while and I take it to the master's house and it brightens up his day. So in the same manner, if we have low self-esteem and we think that God cannot do wonders with us, we cannot be prepared for the task that is ahead of us. Know that the Lord is able. He has created us on His own image and likeness. And He is able to work in us to make us a great people, an amazing and wonderful people. Our Creator, the Holy Potter, the one who knows the inside out of each one of us, He is able to work in us and with us and through us to make us something great that we never expect out of ourselves. Preparation is the first step for the soldier, for the athlete, and for the farmer. Secondly, it's the endurance or going through the actual task. You therefore must endure hardships as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. The Holy Scriptures tell us, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness, in Ephesians 6:12. But even though our enemy in battle might seem strong, yet the battle is not ours, but the Lord's. The Egyptians drew near to the Israelites to kill them. But Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. If we feel that we are facing the enemy with our own strength and might, we will end up losing. But the battle is the Lord's, as mentioned in Exodus 14:14. The Lord will fight for you and you shall hold your peace. Also, we see in the story of Gideon how he won with only 300 soldiers and not 32,000. And Elisha's disciple has his eyes open to see that those who are with us are much more than those who are against us. And that's why we tell him, Lord, you fight my war. You make me conquer. You help my own weakness. Endurance is my day-to-day life at work. Help me, Lord, not to fall. Help me to see you clearly and to witness to your holy name and to spread your light all over the world. One day, a man saw a little vision of the Lord who is coming to him in his sleep and telling him that he wanted to do some work for him. And he showed him a large rock in front of his cabin. And the Lord explained that the man was to push against the rock with all his might. To just keep pushing against the rock. So the man, when waking up, he listened to the Lord and he woke up, he started pushing against the rock. The next day, pushing as much as he can. The third day, 1 week, and then he got so tired. And then Satan came to him. The evil one came to him and he said, "What are you doing? You are wasting your time. Maybe you don't have to do it every day. Just try to do it every once a week or once a month. And after all, you will also be listening to God. The rock hasn't moved and nothing has changed." And the man started to listen to the evil one and he started to be dismayed. And after a while, he stood in front of God and he said, "Lord, I tried to listen to you and to obey your voice, but it was completely useless. I kept on pushing the rock and the rock did not move one inch. I got dismayed and I gave up on the work and the task that is in front of me." And it was then that the Lord answered him and said, "My son, I never asked you to move the rock. All I asked you to do is to push against the rock. I am the one who can move the rock. You never prayed for me or asked me to come and help and to aid and actually move the rock. My word to you or my command to you was to move the rock and look at you. After you listened and obeyed me, you have bigger muscles, your back is much stronger, your own circulation is much better. So you benefited so much from my command. And just by obeying my word and trusting in me, you have gained so much." And that's why, my beloved, we don't want to go through life and not trust in the Lord or fully see Him in every task that we do. We, you and I, willingly have chosen to be followers of Christ. And in that, we have decided to trust in Him, to fully trust in God, trusting God in full. We have decided with our own personal free will to tell Him that He is Lord and God and Savior and Master of all. Never are we going to be distracted from the task that is ahead of us in heeding to Him and listening to Him. As a former farmer, my father did so much farming, still does on occasions, going and seeing all the farmers work and working with every little plant to make sure that it grows, that it is healthy, putting the fertilizer, watering it. It takes so much effort and patience. And going through this task, knowing that's going to be a difficult one, we need to have this joy in our heart that the Lord will come to us to give us victory and to give us the ability to endure hardships, even if it gets difficult sometimes. Finally, these three beautiful vocations, being a soldier, being an athlete, and being a farmer, every single one of them has a beautiful outcome at the end of the day. The Lord never disappoints those who endure for His sake. Those who prepare for the battle, those who endure the time of weakness or the time of hardships, are definitely going to be victorious with Him. As the Holy Scriptures said, 2 Timothy 4:7, St. Paul says, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness." In 2 Timothy 4:7 and also in Romans 8:37, "Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us." We are more than conquerors. And the Christian has to live in victory and to know that through the death of our Lord Jesus and His resurrection and ascension to heaven, you and I have victory in Him, living as His children in joy at all times, and not focusing on the hardships or the problems that we might face for His sake, but looking at the end of our faith, the salvation of our souls. The soldier has victory at the end of the battle because victory is the Lord's. The athlete is crowned with a beautiful crown or medals, and the farmer gets to partake of the crops that he has planted. There is always a reward. And for you and I, the Lord in heaven is the one who is going to give us this beautiful reward, which is the everlasting life, living in His presence forever and ever with all the saints. Again, let's go through this beautiful prayer that St. Paul said to his disciple Timothy. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. We pray that the Lord would give us understanding, first of all, that every work is our calling and is our vocation, and God could be present in it. Because if it wasn't so, He wouldn't tell us to look at the soldier and the athlete and the farmer. There is value in each of our callings right where we are. Secondly, we learned from these three beautiful vocations that we need to prepare ourselves for the task that is still coming ahead of us. And secondly, and thirdly, that we have to endure the battle, never to give up in the middle, because we cannot be crowned unless we become victorious at the end. And the Lord finally is going to get us this beautiful reward that we will enjoy with Him in everlasting life. May the Lord always grant us to live according to His will and holy commandments, keep our focus on Him, and that He may grant us joy and peace in our hearts, and glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.